welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 210. I am your host, James Gilmore, and joining me tonight, we have a very special guest. We do have, at the Pocket Gamer site, an internship program. It is a very hard contested thing. We get lots of applicants coming in, so what we do is we get them all together, and then we throw them out into a forest somewhere, and give them each like a QWERTY keyboard and a rucksack with some rubbish weapons in. And then we have them fight it out over a period of weeks. And then whoever comes out with the least keys embedded in their forehead, they get taken on and they get to write some stories on the site. It's like the Hunger Games, basically, only no one gets fed at the end.
Oh,
who's that chirping in the background? Well, this is our survivor. The person who made it through and is our current Pocket Gamer intern is Miss Laura Rich. Hello, Laura.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am okay. I am well, actually. It's been a busy week. You might notice that it's just two of us this week. We have had some dropouts. Keith, the heart and soul of the podcast, he's ill at the moment. He's actually lost his voice. A concept
that's
which I
essential find. Essential for podcasting, I
yeah,
think.
It is useful, I find. But I just, the concept to me is hilarious of Keith not talking for a long stretch of time. That's incredible. But apparently it's true. Peter is unfortunately engaged elsewhere, as is John. So we have roped in Laura at the last minute, very kindly come and join us on the podcast, which is great because it's a podcast debut. And we get to chat about a load of quite interesting things this week, which is kind of lark. Now, you've done podcasts before, Laura, aren't you? You're an old hand at this.
Yes, I've hosted the Ready Up podcast, and I'm a regular on there at the moment.
Yeah, that's readyup.net, which is a site that you write for. And actually, I used to write for back in the day. It's one of the first things that I did write for, run by Dan and Kirsten. And yeah, sort of gave me a leg up into the whole podcasting video game writing world. So it's nice. We go way back.
Yeah, I used to be your boss, right?
Yeah, something like that.
How the tables have turned.
back when I called you sir, and
remember how nice I was.
I do. I remember you very nice. I called you sir, even though you're a lady person.
Allegedly.
That's respect. But it's been a busy old week. We've had some less controversial stuff than last week. Last week was a little bit heavy with all that NRA nonsense. But we've got some good news for Minecraft players. We've got some interesting news for Tekken fans. And if you like a bit of Wipeout, you might want to stay tuned. So we're going to drift on over to the news.
News!
Laura, do you Minecraft?
I have Minecrafted a lot.
Oh,
especially last year. I got it first on PC, but I had a really rubbish laptop, so it didn't run properly, and my laptop would overheat, you know, blah, blah. It was rubbish. So then when it came out on 360, I was really excited, and I played hours and hours of it on 360. And then I got a new laptop, got it on the laptop, and I've also got the iPad version, which I haven't played much of, but what I have played of it, it's great. You know, for a hand, you can hold it in your hand and play Minecraft.
I hear that's what you can do. Yeah, it's dead handy in that regard. Well, they've been gradually trying to bring the pocket version of Minecraft in line with the PC and console editions. Obviously, they got a bit of a big head start, and you know the hardware's capable of more things. But they've been sort of slowly trying to bring all the features in line. Specifically, we've been waiting for the next update, which is 0.5.1. That's why everyone's been kind of on tenterhooks. And over the past couple of weeks, they've been Mojang has been teasing little incremental things on their Twitter feed, saying, "Oh, you might get some Sky, you might get this and that." But then this week, they actually released the information about the upgrade, and they're skipping 0.5.1 altogether and going straight to 0.6.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. So doing away with a whole decimal place there, just casting it aside like that. So what, you don't ask, is in 0.6? Well, I guess you'll be familiar with all this stuff being as you've played the PC versions. What you're going to get is new block types, first of all, which you'll get the netherrack, netherbrick, the block of quartz, and sandstone.
Yes.
So you can now bugger about with those. What, generally speaking, do you make with those things?
Well, Netherrack is a special block that you get from going to the Nether, which is another realm.
Vortex thingy.
Yeah, you have to build a portal. You have to go through the portal. Netherrack, basically, you can set it on fire and it will burn in forever until you put it out.
Uh-huh.
It won't, like, if you burn wood, the wood will disappear, but the Netherrack will just stay on fire. So basically, you will, you know, use that to decorate your giant castle
with eternal flame.
Less than it was in the first place, and it'll just have fire all over it and everything. Yeah, and you can make, if you're playing in survival mode, you can make like a ring of fire around your house so that the bad guys, the creepers and things, they'll burn as they walk through it. I love building with sandstone. I think it's the nicest looking block you can build with.
Purely aesthetics, then. You just think, oh.
Definitely. Well, that's what it's all been all about for me in Minecraft. I mean, it sounds terrible. I like games that are a challenge, but with Minecraft, it was never about fighting the mobs and things and surviving. It was about building things.
It's about interior design.
I would just play on peaceful mode. Uh-huh. And I made this lovely castle. It's got a game room, it's got a living room, it's got a dining room, it's got a kitchen, it's got bedrooms, you know.
Ouch.
And I let my friends into the world, and I'm like, here, look, you know, come and look at my castle now, come and look at my treehouse, but don't touch anything. anything, you're out.
I've heard that with servers. People open up their Minecraft servers, come back later on in the day, and it's just all their stuff devastated, and they're just weeping. Weeping in the corner, blocky tears. Well, if you're now playing on your iPad, you can enjoy a bit of quartz, a bit of sandstone. You can build yourself a nice little feature in the middle there. That's lovely. Well, there's a couple of other things as well. We can now build, apparently, stairs on corners or upside down, if you want.
Wow, that's...
Sounds interesting.
You can make like a hole, you know, like at the end of Labyrinth.
Like an Escher painting.
With all...
Yeah. Oh, if there was a David Bowie update, I would totally go for it. If it added a singing David Bowie, then I'm in. So stairs that go upside down without David Bowie, unfortunately, but you know. There is also, although this is for sort of, they say it's for high-end devices, but this is obviously only really referring to Android stuff. Although I suppose it might not work for the early iPods and iPhones. Don't know, but whatever. We're going to have new sky rendering effects, which basically means a prettier skybox and clouds.
Clouds, yeah.
Which obviously means big blocky clouds.
Oh, but they're so pretty. It's so strange how a game just made of blocks can be so beautiful.
It is kind of awesome.
It's, yeah.
So skies, stairs, but what we also get is sand and gravel, which was already present, is now it's now subject to gravity.
Yeah, so you can't be underground mining upwards and not have sand fall on you and kill you.
You cannot. And you also can't build sand pits in the middle of the sky. And
yeah, that's a bit mean.
Yeah, yeah.
I think. So. They've nerfed sand.
Yeah, so we have to be a little bit more careful when you're tunnelling about now. On the creature side of things, previously the Pocket Edition did have pigs and sheep and whatnot wandering around. Mm. Now we have the baby animals feature.
Aww.
Yeah, so we get little baby piggies, which means you can attempt to jump on the back of a pig. A piglet, and ride it bareback if you really want to. That's what you do with piglets, isn't it? I didn't grow up on a farm, but I don't know.
There is, on the 360 version, there is an achievement for making a saddle and riding a pig off a cliff.
Oh, well, there you go.
You either have to hurt the pig or kill the pig, but that's one thing I've never ever done because it doesn't feel right.
I've been playing Far Cry 3 recently, so I've had to kind of get over my anti-hunting sentiments if I want to survive.
Well, that's probably because the animals are all trying to eat you.
That's true. They do start it, in my defense. Yeah. There's also a little bit of a bonus here. The slab crafting recipes will now give you 6 slabs instead of 3.
Right.
Which is because the Pocket version had a little bit less. So now it brings it in line with the PC one. That's quite nice. And also the Nether Reactor is going to throw out some more items than it used to.
Oh, right.
All of which is very exciting for Minecraft-loving people. I have to admit, I played it a bit on my phone and sort of abandoned it. I never really got fully immersed in it. So it's nice to talk to someone.
You're lucky. I get dedicated hours and hours of my life to it.
Good stuff. Well, there's no denying the popularity. And I'm sure that there will be a point when I get caught up. The nice thing about video games and this same thing with old TV series movies. They're not going anywhere.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Like, I was involved with something else at the time, and I know it's going to be there, and one day I'm going to pick it up, and I'm just going to suddenly lose weeks of my life to it, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have something, you know, sitting there that you can go back to. Speaking of which, Tekken, a franchise we're all hugely familiar with from the consoles and from way, way, way back when, is coming to iOS. Woohoo!
Woo!
But it's, before we start woohooing any louder, it's not quite what you think it's going to be. Yeah, because Namco, they have brought things like Soul Calibur. They have brought a mobile version of that to the iPhone, so you can play in classic beat-em-up fighty-fighty style. This is not that. Namco Bandai has announced Tekken Card Tournament.
Mm.
Yeah, so the tagline for which is Iron Fist Cardboard Deck. that's my tagline. That's not a real.
That's yours, is it, right?
But they should have used it. They missed the trick there. what they've done is they've taken the Tekken universe and they've turned it into a cross-platform card game for mobile devices. So it'll go across iOS, Android, and browsers as well.
That's really cool. Are there many games that do that?
Well, the problem is you've got... There's a kind of slightly love-hate relationship with card games on iOS, because these games, like, for example, one of the massive ones is, like, Rage of Bahamut. I think it's called, now it's Bahamut, whatever. But it gets millions upon millions of downloads, so incredibly popular. But they don't really do anything. Like, you're incredibly passive in the game experience. It's almost as if you're just tapping the screen and watching as battles play out. And it's just kind of stats appearing, and you feel very disconnected. Peter actually reviewed the Marvel game. There was a Marvel Avengers one that turned up recently. And he was really torn as well, because it's like, there's all this fantastic artwork, and it's sort of very deep mathematically. But in terms of gameplay, you're just sort of tapping the screen every few seconds, and that's it. And there's nothing, there's nothing really to it. So, a bit of a love-hate relationship with these. But...
yeah.
In this instance, judging by the screenshots, we haven't got a lot of details, but it looks like there are going to be fighting options. We have a screenshot which shows Yoshimitsu, and I thought it was Jin Kazama originally, but it's not. It's Kazuya.
Yeah.
It's Kazuya Mishima, because he's got different hair from Jin. That's how
it's
you
know. It's all about the hair these days.
Yeah, apparently. And the screen that we're showing is kind of, they've got 90 hit points each. It looks, it's been rendered in 3D, so it kind of looks like an actual Tekken, you know, fight that you're used to seeing. Only there are three things at the bottom of the screen. You've got a focus bar, a strike bar, and a block bar.
Yep.
So it looks like you tap one of those to issue, you know, attacks, and you take it in turns, and it's done in a kind of top trump sort of way.
That could make all the difference.
Yeah, it does appear to be timed as well. There's still a timer up in the center of the screen, so I guess it's happening in real time.
Yeah.
But again, we've only seen screenshots. We haven't seen anything actually in action. The other thing it has is it's got a little augmented reality feature, because you can also, or at least you will be able to, get physical cards to go with it.
Yes.
So they're going to release the actual game onto iOS, and then apparently a couple of months later, a month or two later, they're going to release these booster packs, but they're going to be an actual physical deck.
Yeah, you can play them. You don't need the app.
That's right.
So they could become quite popular just in themselves.
On their own.
As collectors, yeah.
So, yes, I mean, for the fighting card game community, that might go down well. I don't know, because, I mean, I'm not hugely, like, invested in all of that. The Magic the Gathering, for example. I did want to do Magic the Gathering 2013, because it's supposed to be awesome. Like, on the iPad.
I've got a friend telling me, you need to play this game all the time.
Yeah. Me too. I hear really, really good things. So I'm kind of interested in doing that. But as far as the physical card games go, not so much. But what they've done is they will release these booster packs. And what you'll be able to do is kind of, I think you get a code with them, and then you can input them into the game. And that will, you know, give you an extra character or give you an extra buff or something like that.
Is it a surprise character each time?
I'm not entirely sure. I think that the card will actually bear a character, and I assume it will correlate to whatever character's on the card, I would imagine. Yeah. But like I say, they're being a bit stingy on the details. One thing they have shown us is that it will work with an augmented reality feature. So if you aim your iPhone at the card, then the 3D representation of the character on that card will appear above it.
And that's, you can, pretty cool,
wave your camera around and see him in 3D and all that fun augmented reality.
I wonder if you can customize him that way.
Different hair? I can give him different hair, you mean?
Because, well, Tekken's quite well known for all its customization options. It would be quite cool if you could customize him and then, you know, re-display it on the screen and it'll be changed. So you can zoom in all the different versions that you've created.
Well, I assume they're going to let you... I mean, you can do screen captures on your devices anyway. There should be a little photograph option. That's generally good for these things. People are into all that fetishizing outfits stuff, don't they?
Yeah, I just want to punch people.
in everyday life? Or is this just when you see Tekken characters?
Yeah, whenever. I'm not fussy.
Fair enough. All right. Well, we can look forward to this sometime within the next few weeks. They'll probably give us a concrete release date in a little bit, but they announced it this week. It'll turn up within the next couple of weeks and then some physical booster packs after that. So Tekken fans can be excited or cynical, depending on how, how they feel about card game. It's always weird when the franchise has a big shift. Uncharted did the same thing. They released, there's a card game for the Vita, and everyone was kind of like, oh my God, Uncharted sequel, amazing. And then they saw Uncharted, oh, it's a card game.
But
could be good. Who knows? We shall see. Speaking of skepticism, I suppose, I was a little bit downtrodden earlier on, late last year, I suppose, when what I would call Studio Liverpool, but what I want to call Psygnosis, shut down. Because they were one of my favourites from way back in the day, from the Amiga days, from Shadow of the Beast and Lemmings and Agony even, all that good stuff. I loved Psygnosis. I thought they were genius. Roll Cage was amazing. And my favourite racing franchise of all time, Wipeout.
Yeah, mine too.
It's one of the only ones I would follow regularly without ever... I've always been cynical of people who just peddle sequels. So, I raise my eyebrows every time they release the next FIFA or, you know, I find it a bit cynical. Whenever a Wipeout sequel comes out, I just have to get
Wipeout!
Exactly. All my objectivity goes out the window and I'm just like, I must have it. It is amazing.
I've never really enjoyed racing cars or bikes or, you know, any other kind of racing game. But Wipeout, I really love. Yeah. I think it's... because they're so pretty, though.
They're they pretty, are so
pretty. Shiny. But also, I think the music gets me.
New Shadow soundtrack.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think Wipeout Fusion had my favourite soundtrack. I'm like a 90s, I was a 90s teen, so I'm into like all my trance and my hard house and things like that. So I really loved that one. And I just remember it being so beautiful, and I bought it a few years ago to replay, and I couldn't make out what was going on the screen.
Really?
Yeah. I can't see my ship, but it looked really blocky and everything. So then I bought the new one, and the music has changed. It's all that dubstepy stuff that you know, youngsters are listening to.
Dubstep stuff.
That's not my Wipeout.
Denied. Well, the guys who were responsible for it, who were like Studio Liverpool, one of the gentlemen who was in that team is a guy called Nick Burkham, who served as the lead designer on Wipeout, the very first one. He's now started up his own place called Playrise Digital, which is an indie mobile game development setup. Their first game is a game called Tabletop Racing, which is supposed to be a mixture of like 3D pack racing and the kind of combat stuff you see in like Mario Kart and Wipeout, I suppose.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to take a look at this one, even though I don't really like wheels so much.
No, well, I agree. I prefer the floaty ones. But all those three things, Mario Kart and Wipeout, they all sound great. And Micro Machines was amazing as well. So I'm interested. I mean, to be honest, I'll like be brutally honest. Looking at the screenshots, and there aren't many, it does just look kind of like Micro Machines, and it doesn't visually strike me necessarily as anything that special. But knowing this guy's involvement with it, that alone makes me interested because they do know how to do racing mechanics, and they do know how to do... there's nothing that kind of ever got me in the zone, inverted commas, like Wipeout.
Yeah.
So it's a very zen game. You'd relax your eyes and just kind of have to be all Jedi and see it before it comes and all that. It's kind of awesome. this looks a bit more tongue-in-cheek. This isn't going to be dark and drum and bassy. So you're going to be driving around VW camper vans, hippie bath days, pink Jeeps, all that sort of stuff. So it looks a little bit more fun and Micro Machines-y.
Oh, look, the ice cream truck called the Whippie-Kaye sold.
Whippie-Kaye? I hadn't seen that, but you're absolutely right. So
this might be the greatest game ever made.
Yeah, you're probably right. Well, we can look forward to that. It's coming out January 31st. So hopefully we'll get a little bit of a heads up on it and maybe get a review going on as well, given its sweet pedigree. So Tabletop Racing, keep your eyes peeled for that. Now, before we go over to the new releases, I do want to talk really quickly about a game that I've been really looking forward to. We mentioned it on the podcast a few weeks back. Simogo's Year Walk. Which is, are you familiar with Simogo? They did beat Sneak Bandit last year.
I'm not. I haven't heard anything about this one.
Right. Beat Sneak Bandit was a rhythm touch game. Basically, you play as a little kind of thief who's skulking around these houses, these kind of very beautifully done, almost pop art style houses. You're seeing a bisection of the house so you can see inside. And the idea is that there's a beat playing, there's a rhythm, and you have to, you can only move in time with the rhythm, and all of the other characters mooching around the house, they also moved in time. So it's all about plotting when to move and when not to move in order to avoid being seen.
Yeah.
But there's this rhythm aspect as well. And it was really beautifully done, very, very clever, very ingenious and awesome. And it won awards, Independent Game Festival. It won the award there and it got a 9 out of 10 from us. And it's just great. So we've been kind of looking forward to what they're doing next. And they've taken a completely different route for their next game. It was announced a while back. It's called Year Walk. If you go to the site, type in Year Walk, you will see a number of trailers and some screenshots. It is genuinely a beautiful looking thing. It's apparently, according to the gameplay notes, it's a first person perspective 2D game. So you're viewing everything from, you know, an eye point of view, but you swipe the screen around and essentially you're sort of shifting. I mean, I suppose you would, the equivalent of moving a map around like you would do in a top down view, yeah. But you're looking at everything from the side, as if you're standing looking at a house and then you're swiping to move it sideways. So it seems quite unusual, and I think that's what they're going for. They have been a little bit hazy on when it might be released. It was supposed to come out late last year, and it didn't. It slipped past the date. Today, we discovered that they are hoping to get it out by the end of February.
Great.
Which is very exciting for me. Now, it's not a concrete date. They've been very honest on their blog and said, look, this is where we want to get it out, but there's no guarantee. We can't predict what the App Store will say, and you know, there's that whole approval process to go through. So, hopefully, the end of February. But that and enough has kind of got me very excited. And they've been really, really cagey about what the game's about, which I also love. The trailers are very weird, like almost ambient mood, David Lynch-like video bits, where you don't really know what's happening, what's going on, and it's got this strange imagery and like donkeys with monocles in suits, and it's all very weird and a bit creepy, which I love.
Definitely
all about that. So we're very excited, but they've given us a few little extra bits of information. So apparently what they say is it's going to take between 2 and 4 hours to complete the game, but more if you try and find every secret. So not the longest thing, but there's more in it if you want to dig. The other thing they say is that there are puzzles in the game. It's sort of a puzzle adventure game, but there's not a specific style. So the idea is that every puzzle will be separate. There'll be an individual style of puzzle. So there's no overarching theme. So I guess they're trying to keep us on our toes or something. Mm. One of the developers' names is Simon Flesser. And he wrote the blog and he said, the mood he's going for is, have you ever been lost in the forest? And you realize that you're walking in circles. That is a scary and confusing feeling. And so we have tried to capture that feeling in this game.
That sounds horrible.
Oh, it sounds great. I love that feeling. And I don't even have to leave my house and walk about in a wood in the dark. It's fantastic.
And it's covered, it's snowy, so it's, you know, it's very seasonal.
Yeah, oh yes, it will be. It'll be good for February. But I'm very excited by this. I like creepy games.
Yeah, and it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, and I quite like the fact they're keeping it all secret, so we're not 100% sure. Yeah. We're just pretty much going on their pedigree at the moment, and because Beat Sneak was so good, we're like, we have a good feeling about this one. So hopefully this February we'll be able to get our hands on Year Warp. Go to the site, check out the trailers. There's some new screenshots up as well. It looks grand, and we should all be very excited about it. That's not coming until February, but we have had some games that came out this week. A couple of good ones too. So we're going to head on over and check out the new releases. First up on this week's new releases, we have Tank Battle North Africa. This is by Hunted Cow Studios, and it is the sequel to Tank Battle 1944, which is a very serious-headed, top-down strategy Fog of War RTS-style game. Apparently, you're fighting for control of North Africa during World War II. You've got 36 unit types, 5 missions, First Strike tutorial campaign, an 8 mission Hope and Glory British campaign, and then a Stars and Stripes American one too. And then there's a whole big list of tanks, which I'm not going to read out because, you know, they're tanks. And
I didn't know there were that many different kinds of tanks.
There are loads. I went to school with someone who was encyclopedic on these things, which I always, anyone who has that much of an obsession with kind of war machinery, I always find a little bit disturbing. You want to keep them at arm's reach and don't get them angry. But oh, there's a Panzer. I know about Panzers.
Oh, I've heard of Panzers. They're in Call of Duty 3.
That's where I get all my history. Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, so this one has got, we got multiplayer, so six pass and play multiplayer scenarios, which is kind of neat, handy to have. You can, as with all things now, buy extra content. It's, I think, £149.
Extra tanks.
Yeah, yes, more tanks, extra Panzers. Stack them on top of one on top of the other, and then you just push them towards the enemy and hope they topple over on someone important. Yeah, it's £149 to purchase the thing, $199, or you can buy extra campaigns for 99 cents a piece. That's 69p. It's up for one of our Game of the Week. It's one of our Game of the Week contenders, so if you've played it, if you like it, go ahead and vote for it on the site. You just head over, type in Game of the Week, you'll see it on the front page, and then just follow the links to vote if you're interested. Next up, we've got... Oh, I'll talk briefly about it because I'm going to talk about it in more detail later. Ghostbusters came out this week, which
is... So hard not to sing the theme tune.
I know, I already am, and I've been listening to it today, so it's lodged firmly in my head. It's sort of a cause for excitement, but at the same time not. It's been very difficult to get a good game out of this franchise, and they've had many, and this game hasn't necessarily swung me back. I will talk about it later on, but it's a free-to-play game more in the style of a management sort of sim, so it's kind of got that mixture of a little bit of, I guess, Farmville, as in you're having to mine slime in this case from going... doing missions and things like that. And so there are fighting elements, and then there are also resource management elements. It's free to play, so you can go and have a look at that if you want to. I'll break it down a bit more later. One of the big releases this week, though, that we mentioned before, very excited about this, Might and Magic Clash of Heroes, which has finally come to iPhone and iPad. And in the opinion of Mark Brown, Deputy Editor Mark Brown, it's now on the platform it truly belongs.
Oh,
which is lovely.
Have you played any of the other versions?
No, I didn't play the ones on, because I know it was on PlayStation or Xbox. And
yeah, it was on Marketplace, I think.
Yeah, that's right. It's a really interesting take on turn-based combat. So it's kind of a mixture of RPG elements. So classic JRPG, you control a band of people and wander around doing melodramatic things with weird spiky hair, because that's what happens in JRPGs.
Of course.
But instead of the standard turn-based battles, you've got something that actually, as Mark says, bears more in common with something like Bejeweled. So it's kind of a match 3 game. I mean, it originally appeared on the 3DS, on the DS, sorry. Then it got ported over to the consoles, and now it's arrived here. And what Mark is reckoning is that actually this is the place it's designed for, because these kind of match 3 puzzles work really, really well on the touchscreen.
Yeah, definitely.
It plays to its strengths. So if you match three across the screen, then they'll turn into a defensive wall. If you match them three characters vertically, they turn into a phalanx and they attack the opponent.
Wow.
So it's kind of a really interesting spin on making a kind of match-three puzzler game aggressive, almost.
Yeah.
And from all reports, it's absolutely blinding. We've given it a 9 out of 10. We've said it's absolutely grand. It looks better than it ever did on DS, and it controls better than it did on the Xbox and that. So it sounds like really, really one you need to go out and seek. I think it's $2.99. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. Let me just double check, because I have been wrong. Yeah, it's £2.99, $4.99. You can play through a vast single-player campaign. We're talking like 20 hours worth of content, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
And you do have in-app purchases as well, which I've seen some people already complaining about. But from what I understand, they do not affect gameplay. It's not a grind. You can just play through the normal mission, and you will get all of these features.
That's good to know, yeah.
Yeah, all the factions will be unlocked as you go along. Some people have referred to it as grind, but I'm pretty sure that's how the game worked in the first place. Mm. But you just buy them to speed it up if you want to. So we're not generally the hugest fan of in-app purchases. It depends how they're implemented, but I don't think these ones are crippling. We've said it's okay. You can do without them, absolutely fine, and it doesn't affect gameplay. So we're okay.
Sounds intriguing.
Yeah. So Might and Magic, Clash of Heroes by Ubisoft. Go and have seek that one out, because it's grand by all accounts. Now, the next one we covered it. It made us well. It's called Banana Kong, which immediately sort of
yeah. I don't want to play that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of a shame, because when you see something like that, my mind immediately thinks, you know, knockoff. This is a little copycat Donkey Kong game, isn't it? Really, obviously.
Yeah.
But if you actually click through and look at it, it's really pretty. Really, really pretty. It's got a beautiful cartoon style to it. It is an endless runner. I don't know if it's level-based. It might be an auto-runner. But I've seen some gameplay of this going on. It plays a little bit like that. There was a tie-in Hunger Games app, going back to the Hunger Games again, where you would be able to run along the ground, but then if you tap and jump, you can jump up onto another level. So it's a 2D side-scroller, but you can go up another level, and also if you swipe down the screen, you'll drop to the level below. So you get a little bit more tactics than just simply running and jumping and running and jumping. And the animation's gorgeous, and seriously, the visual style, it's a very cartoony comic book-looking thing, but it's really attractive. And I almost think they've done themselves a disservice by calling it Banana Kong. It just makes it sound like a Donkey Kong ripoff, you know?
Definitely.
So, a bit of a shame. It's by FDG. It's 69p99. It's got some great feedback already. It's currently riding at full 5 stars after 40 ratings. Everyone says it's awesome.
Not bad.
Genuinely, it looks really, really pretty. So, I mean, I hope it's good, but maybe better name.
It's going to be something that you have to say, oh, no, don't be put off.
Exactly,
Try it.
I know what it sounds like, but... however, one of the ones you won't need to be persuaded to go and check out is Wave Trip.
I need this.
Yeah, I know. I saw it earlier on in the week, and...
10 seconds into the trailer, the music. And you're like, I need this game... Now,
there is something about games that have a very strong art style. I know I mean, people might see it as being pretentious or whatever, but it has a very strong vector cartoon art style. Everything's jagged and pointy and block colors, and it looks awesome.
Yeah.
And there is something about those games when you look at it, they always have good soundtracks. There's something about, like, if they've paid that much attention to the visuals, or they've got a particular style, they genuinely back it up with some kind of interesting sounds.
Yeah, because you're not just going to throw something rubbish over something that you've put a lot of effort into.
Yeah, you would hope so. And in this case, they seem to have done it proud. It is a side-scrolling music game. So you're flying around. You're basically this little triangle with a circle in the middle, and you're zooming from left to right. And the idea is that you're avoiding these flying enemies whilst at the same time picking up pods, which activate sounds.
I love that in games.
Yeah.
When the music isn't really the point, but it's kind of incidental, and you're making it as you go along. I love that so much.
Did you dig on the kind of like res and stuff like that?
Yeah, and what was the one? The spiritual, Child of Eden, obviously.
Oh, I like that. I didn't play it, because I know that you can play it with your controller, but I know it was intended to be played.
Yeah, you can't play it with your controller. What else is it? The Cypher Prime games, they're really good. Like Auditorium and Splice and Fractal. they're really good with the sounds and adding the sounds. But there's one that's on the tip of my tongue and I can't think what it is. I play Chime. There you go.
Chime is good, yeah.
I play Chime so much.
That's
pretty. Any game where you can just make sounds and it enhances the already really good music. Mm. I love that.
Sound Shapes was one that was released on the Vita. That was very good as well. Well, this one, it's a really, really strong visual look. The soundtrack is excellent. You have to fly around. You're dodging baddies whilst, you know, collecting the little items. And every time you pick it up, there's kind of a ding, dong, dong. And it makes little pretty chiming noises. Only pretty.
Like, oh, you did a good thing.
Yes, exactly. Well done, you. And there is a plot line. You're supposed to be going around saving your friends or whatever, but
kids.
Exactly, who cares? It's $1.49 go and have a look at that. Again, it's got excellent ratings, and we gave it, I think we gave it at least a silver award, 8 out of 10. So some really, really strong contenders this week, actually.
Definitely.
All of those ones we've mentioned are in the Game of the Week list. So that's our nominations for Game of the Week. There are a couple of our Android ones there too, but if you've played in any of those, or you go out after this podcast and then play them, let us know what you think. Go and vote for them if you think it's worthy of being the Game of the Week, and then we can sort of feedback, and we'll put up some information about it on Monday when we come back. Now, obviously, we haven't had a chance to play all of these. I've played one of them, and I'm going to talk about it in a bit. And I know, Laura, that you've been playing something new this week too, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
So what we'll do is we will mosey on over and find out what we've been playing.
What we've been playing!
I think this week, because it's just the two of us, I will share what I have been playing first. I mentioned it briefly during the Game of the Week. It is another version of Ghostbusters.
Which... Oh, and you sounded a bit disappointed.
Yeah, well, this is one that's kind of let me down. I will put the caveat here that I am a huge Ghostbusters fan. I grew up at the right time.
Yeah.
It was one of those fantastically genre blending movies, and it was just genius, and Bill Murray's a god. So,
I'm a huge... played every time a Ghostbusters game come out, you're like, oh, I hope this one's really good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I played the ones that were on the Spectrum. I played the ones that were on the Game Boy when I eventually got one. That one that came out for the consoles, you know, the Ghostbusters, that was considered, you know, Ghostbusters the video game, which was essentially supposed to be the third movie, which
they
kind of...
voice actors in. And
he had all the original voice actors, that's right, and Bill Murray came back and everything, and it was like, wow. And it was weird hearing them all again, and I sort of convinced myself I liked it, but... Mm. Upon reflection, probably didn't half as much as I hoped. You know, it's just one of these sad things. It didn't really
break your poor wee heart again.
It's a nightmare. Well, they've taken a different tact on this one. Rather than making it kind of an action combat game, as I mentioned before, it is sort of a mixture between fighting and resource management. So what you do is you're presented with a top-down view of a sector of New York City. You've got the fire station, which is the Ghostbusters headquarters, located there in the middle, and you can go into the HQ, and you can sweep up and down between the different floors. What this means is you can research your equipment, so you can build up your equipment and get better proton packs and bits and bobs. Mm-hmm. You can check out the containment field, which is at the bottom, which is, you know, always got Slimer in, and all the various creatures you've got, so you need to research the creatures and the ghosts so that you can tackle them better. The actual fighting takes place, Janine takes calls, and then you have missions added to a logbook. You then, don't laugh, you then go out onto the map, and arrows appear over where ghost sightings have been. You click on them, and you basically go, and you get shown into a room. All the Ghostbusters, your three newbie Ghostbusters, stroll onto the screen, and then ghosts start appearing, and you have to kind of tap your character and then drag and swipe towards each ghost, and they start firing their particle accelerators or their slime guns or whatever. And once they've exhausted the ghosts, a little trap icon will appear. You tap it, they slide the trap out, sucks the ghost in. There's kind of about maybe five or six of those, and then you've completed that area, and you get slime. This slime acts as a resource, and the ultimate goal is that there is
not ectoplasm.
Yeah, I know. It should be.
They're not allowed to say that.
No, it's officially licensed. It seems, you know, it's all above board, but they just refer to it as slime. I mean, to be fair, in the second movie, they referred to it as slime a lot. The pink slime. And they're referencing it here, even though it's green. But the narrative part of it is there is a massive building in central Manhattan which is kind of covered in slime, in the same way that museum was in Ghostbusters 2,
yeah.
Only again it's green. And you're supposed to progress up floor by floor this gigantic building to get to the top. So it's kind of a mashup between the museum thing and the Dana Barrett's apartment in Ghostbusters 1. It kind of looks like that tower block. Now, when they originally mentioned the game and explained what it was going to be, in some ways I actually thought it made sense, because whilst you think of Ghostbusters as this kind of fun comedy and there's a certain amount of sort of action in it, they actually spend a lot of time complaining about, like, working hours and arguing with the Environmental Protection Agency.
They are trying to run a business.
Exactly. And Egon's all, and they're talking about they're having to take out a second mortgage in order to buy the place and the price of the car. And so there actually is kind of this money management element built into the film. They always refer to it as a franchise, and they're complaining about being overworked and stuff. So in a way, I was kind of like, this might work. This kind of makes sense. Ties into the film. In reality, though, it's pretty repetitive and kind of dull. And it is a shame, sort of.
Yeah, really.
The fighting bits are incredibly repetitive. Like, I mean, I've played it for about 45 minutes, an hour now. Granted, you know, that's only the tip of the iceberg. But already it's starting to wear a little bit thin. You just sort of tap and drag and watch while the bars go down and then tap to trap it and then just keep on doing that. And as with all these types of games, there is just a never-ending procession of pop-ups, just constantly telling you that you've got this and you've got that, and when you finish each thing, you've got this much slime, and you've unearthed the thing you have to research, and then you have to go back to the station to research it, and it takes you money to research, so you have to use your money to do that, and if you don't have enough, guess what? You have to buy it via in-app purchases. You can research it, if you just click research, it will do it, but it will take 30 minutes.
Wow.
So if you actually want to do it now, you have to pay.
Forever in game time.
It is forever in game time. But that's how a lot of these are working. I mean, it's free, so you can't complain in that regard. If you want to pay for it, you can speed things up. If you don't, you're going to have to wait your turn. And everything seems to have... And once you've actually got the item, you're going to have to actually equip the person with the item and then either train them with it, and that takes time. And it's very drawn out, and the actions that you have to participate in to get anywhere are kind of repetitive. The characters don't look like the characters. Small gripe, but they just don't. Then the squad you're playing as is a bunch of new people that you're sort of inducting, and the animations aren't that great. There's this bizarre thing where every time you go up to the next floor, they are kind of rewarding you by giving you some power-ups. But this plays out like as an animation where you just watch the characters walk from left to right, and there's a bunch of items on the floor, and you have no control over this, you just watch. And they walk along the floor, and whenever they step on the item, the pop-up comes up and goes, bing, you've got this. And you go, okay, cool, close it. And then there's another kind of few seconds while he just walks on the floor towards another one, and then he steps on that, and it goes, bing, you've got this as well. And you're like...
That's taking the fun out of gang stuff.
Exactly. I'm watching it get stuff. Either I want to be doing the running...
Yeah.
Or we don't need to do this, and you can just tell us we've got all the stuff and we can move on, because this is not fun. This is boring. So, it feels a bit too spreadsheety for my tastes, which is a shame. I thought it might be able to work, but it's suffering a little bit for me. Now, granted, I say disclaimer, I'm only an hour in. Maybe it picks up and gets amazing. I don't know. It's
free to play.
Who knows? But it certainly hasn't captured me. But Laura, you've been playing something else that might be good. I don't know. Tell me about what you've been playing.
I have been playing on a recommendation from that James guy from Pocket Gamer, whoever that is. Rescue Rush. It's by Supermono. It sees you taking control of Columbus. He's a laboratory test cat who's been experimented on by scientists who are trying to perfect a shrink ray.
Right.
So they zap him with the shrink ray. It doesn't work. Columbus becomes huge, and then he roams the streets trying to free the other lab animals who are in cages dotted around the town.
Nice.
So you free the animals by moving Columbus right over them.
Okay.
The scientists that zap you are out to stop you with machines that one hit kill you.
Okay.
There's a really cute little kitty yelp when you get hit that actually made me do an out loud "aww" the first time I heard it.
Can you by any chance do an approximation of this yelp?
I oh no.
You considered it for a second.
I did.
Like...
I did. I haven't practiced it. It's quite fun. It's bright and cheerful. Like, you know, despite all the animal cruelty, it doesn't bombard you with buy things messages.
Okay.
But you do run out of energy quite quickly.
Right.
So you can buy more, or you can complete quests to get more. The quests are a bit of a nightmare. I can't even complete one.
Oh.
It uses your device's GPS, so you'll be navigating streets local to you, which is quite amusing.
Oh yeah, that was the thing I was interested in, because they've done a few of these games recently where they're really trying to implement that sort of real world location based gameplay.
Yeah.
So they're dropping. There was a fantasy one actually. One of the winner of the game of the week last week, I think, which is Life is Magic, I think it's called, is exactly that. It's a big RPG, but it uses your local area and kind of superimposes this fantasy world on top of it.
Yeah.
And this is something similar, right?
Yeah, it's exactly that. I'm going down like streets that I know, and I'm actually learning the area.
Also, it's educational as well as.
I never knew what the street was called because, yeah, I don't really I don't go out around here very often. I was like, oh, that's where that street is. It's like, oh yeah, that's where my dentist is, you know.
But you're marching a massive cat path.
I do live in the middle of the Welsh Valleys, so we have a lot of dead ends and pretty much no long straight roads, which means that there's more chance of getting trapped and taken out by the killing science machines. So I think I'm getting a far tougher game than a player that lives in a big city would get.
I've got a lot more skill. That's really it. I had not considered that. But yeah, I guess if all these GPS-based games... they argue, and one of the things they flag up in their blurb is that there's essentially basically a million levels worth of gameplay content, because, you know, it's the world and there's quite a lot of it.
Yeah,
so,
apparently in this one you can go to famous landmarks and around those as well.
Ah, right, okay. But I know that it uses your immediate location first, but then there are portals which you can kind of jump to other places, right?
Yeah, I haven't found any of those yet.
Ah, right, okay.
I run out of energy.
And I assume in order to get it, you have to wait or you have to pay?
You wait, but you can also earn crystals. I can't remember what they're called, but you earn these blue crystals, and then for each crystal, you can do a square on the map. But also, because it is quite, you know, it's quite quiet around here and it's not very densely populated, I unlock squares on the map and go to play them, if the game will detect that the areas have no roads at all, and they'll give me a crystal for finding an area of such calm.
Oh, really?
So I guess that balances out.
Ah, so you get crystal hoarding on the fact that you live in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Or in a very quiet place.
It's congratulating me for finding an area, isn't it? No carnage, no evil scientists, no giant cat, and I get a reward.
Well, I kind of like the look of it because it reminds, well, it looks like a Godzilla or like a, you know, one of those kind of monster movies where there's just a gigantic animal stomping down the middle of the street. Only it's your street. And usually these kind of games, they're based around going around, finding items or running away from things. They usually play out over a very long period of time, whereas the claim they make here is that it's supposed to be very kind of arcadey. You're collecting
items.
Yeah,
it's pretty Pac-Man, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's very short levels. One of the quests was to collect 70 or 80 coins in one game.
Mm-hmm.
But the areas that I found so far, they're not big enough, so you only get about 30 coins per square.
Oh, right.
So you have to also watch that you're not picking up the animal cages as well as you're running around. Because all the streets, they're not kind of interconnecting, so you can't go back and go around a different way. You have to keep going. So, I mean, it is amusing to see, you know, streets coming up that you know, but it kind of, I can't say it ruins it, but you have to play it the same way each time. You have to actually figure out, you have to say, right, I'm going to go halfway down this road and I'm going to double back, and, you know, just things like that.
It's fun. I hadn't considered that the local geography can essentially work against you. Depending on where you are, you'll get a totally different game. But that's true. I guess, you know, once you jump to portals, it'll be a different affair.
Yeah,
also, I like the way it looked. How does it? I mean, I've seen screenshots. Does it look as good when it's running?
Yeah, it's really cute. It's really cartoony. It's fun. Yeah, no complaints.
Oh, nice. So would you, do you think you'd carry on, or would you try and go somewhere else, wait till you're on holiday in the Bahamas or something, and then try it, and there'll be like one road stretching on forever?
It would be quite cool to try it, because you've got a section where you can go and view your world, and you see all the different animals that you have unlocked, and I've got like a stack of animals and a little arrow pointing to this one place and this whole giant empty globe that I haven't been able to fill, obviously.
Wow.
So if you really got hooked on it, it could become quite an expensive little game.
It could force you to do traveling. It could be quite good. Yeah. Quite beneficial. People always complain that games, you know, have you sitting on the couch wasting away. Well, this one will get you out and about, I guess.
It did put a smile on my face.
Good stuff. Excellent. All right. And well, that pretty much covers it for this week. If you have liked the sound of anything you've heard this week, as always, go to pocketgamer.co.uk. Check out all the games we've talked about today. Go and vote for the game of the week. Your opinion does matter. We will totally listen to it before we screw it up and throw it in the bin. Go to pocketgamer.biz. Listen to all the we've got some really interesting interviews up this week. Actually, we've been talking to a couple of fairly high profile types. Smoosh on over there. It's all on the front page. Have a look. And obviously find us on Facebook. You can find us Pocket Gamer, and same thing at Pocket Gamer on Twitter. Thank you ever so much for joining me, Laura. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
The first time, and hopefully not the last time. Next week we'll probably have a few more people kicking around, and we'll be sure to have you back sometime soon.
Great.
Excellent stuff. That's it for this week. Everybody take care. Bye.
Bye.